Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Here we go, Hour 1, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as we are off and running. General at your service at ease. There is Brian Broaddus making his return after one of his longest absences in show history. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate you guys carrying the ball for us. And it was nice. I didn't realize being away from work could kind of be fun. But
you saw the light a little bit.
I didn't realize that, like, no, seriously, it's like, well, you got to prepare yourself to, you know, you get in such a rhythm doing it. And the and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I don't have to go do that today.
Just exhale a little
bit. Yeah, no,
you get other things done.
It was, I was listening from afar, and you guys did a hell of a job as always. But yeah, it is nice to be back. It really, really is. So, but it was nice to also take a little break, and especially after the nice success we had on the draft.
Yes,
I heard the
terrific numbers.
Yeah. Dawson, I want to thank you
domination
for diving in. You know, I think that overall that everybody, there was a lot of commitment to that. Chief had some really great questions. Lucius with all the sound and everything that we needed. Zach, I was floored for how well the coverage. The coverage is always great. But the way the response and all that, and I'm super, super proud about that. And I know we pride ourselves on that, but I just want to say that coming back, thanks to everybody that put us number one in the market on that.
Cheers to you,
thank
sir.
You.
Yeah, thanks for leading the charge on that once again. Yeah, if you missed it, the draft ratings were just outstanding, like astronomically a good number. So we want to thank the Tolos as well for tuning in and recognizing the great work that Broaddus and Wolchuk and all the guys have done on this with us really over the years. This has been building to this point.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating in the early years because we knew we had the best draft show in America, but for whatever reason, it wasn't always being reflected in the ratings.
It took you getting involved, you know?
Yeah, there we go.
It took you asking.
Yeah, you tilted it, baby.
The leader of the Blind Scout Society.
It was Dawson saying, listen, this Sonny Styles, he looks like a commander to me. I don't know if I want him on my team, but I'll tell you, the commanders might like a guy
I'll take it. You got Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup here, Master Control 75 and 635, fixing to go a full five flawless for 2 days in a row, today and tomorrow. They are going to be in California to take on the Angels of Anaheim. There's Wolchuk and Schiafalo, of course. Aiden Butler's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Love it if you can download that Odyssey app. It is the Tolo's best friend to have in your back pocket, the ultimate fan backup. Yeah, great win by the Rangers yesterday, Brian. Were you watching?
Were you taking all this in? No, I was. Actually, between World Championship bull riding, yes, we were taking in baseball. And it was, man, the Astros series was just, it was a little disheartening, you know, going in there. You kind of felt like, oh, we got things under control now. The schedule's going to give us a little chance to breathe. And we didn't do very well coming out of that. You know, you look at what happened in Colorado. It looked like it was going to be a little bit worse. You know, I'm like, how is this happening? But, hey, listen, some guys with some timely hitting, some outstanding pitching, defense at the right moment, some just damn good luck, too. Pass balls.
Shoot, yeah, it was.
Know,
yeah.
Just catcher's interference.
We'll
whatever,
take it.
Whatever things. And by the way, we need to get Jared on talk about catcher's interference.
I know. We really
more.
Needed him yesterday.
Joe in Flower Mound wants to know the ruling on catcher's interference.
Yeah, we do.
But, overall, it just, need to go to Anaheim and kind of keep the good things going there. The hitting was, I thought, at times was good, but man, it just needs to be a little bit more consistent in a lot of areas.
It does, you know, but we've been scoring some runs. I think this is
shocking.
You know,
well, it's funny
this week we're averaging about seven.
Yeah, you score 10 and then you have one, and then you score zero and then you have seven. And then, you know, so I don't know, it's just a little bit, just, like I say, I think there's some guys stepping up. I am really happy for Foscue.
Yeah.
Guys like that, you know.
Foscue, Duran.
Yeah, there's some guys that are just, you know, and Jock Peterson, I thought that was kind of crazy.
Jock's numbers since a bad start have been fantastic.
Yeah, so overall, though, it's nice to see the Rangers have some success that way because the pitching is, you know, how about Rocker the other day and the outing that he had with the starter, you know, coming in after the initial opener there. But maybe that's something they want to do, but The pitching, I think, is something you'd never have to worry about with this team. The hitting is going to be the direction you need to focus.
There was a chance they could be in a tie for first place today. We could be broadcasting here on your home of the first place Rangers, but they're still a game back as the A's had to come back themselves last night. They tied it in the ninth. They win it in the tenth. They'll take on the Angels again tonight with Soriano against Severino. Jose Soriano for the Angels, their best pitcher, he already has 6 wins.
Yeah, he's been incredible.
It's like a 14-win team. He's got 6 wins. He started 10 games. But we're 50 games into this thing already.
Yeah. And this is, remember, because it's funny, I was listening to Sean and RJ talk about this. You know, I remember asking CY how many games, you know, 40 games. That's when you could kind of get an idea of, you know, where you're at and some stuff. So, you know, here we are now 50 games, and I want to believe – I really, really do want to believe that the pitching will continue, some of the hitting, the timely hitting, and maybe some guys actually feeling comfortable up there at the plate now. You know, maybe that's something that guys that haven't gotten chances before, all of a sudden. I mentioned Foskey. He looks like a different player standing up there.
He looks totally comfortable.
He looks like, even in the field playing defense, he just looks like he's – and we asked him when we had him on before I left about – you feel like you're looking over your shoulder and all that. And he's like, no, I'm kind of feeling like I feel like I belong here a little bit more now. But he's solidified himself as a guy that you can absolutely rely on when you need him to at bat or play in the field at defense at a couple different positions.
Perfect timing as well. I mean, this team would be in really bad shape if it wasn't for Foskey and Duran. And those were kind of a couple of guys who have stayed on the roster, been up and down a couple of times over the last 3 years. And you really needed them to start contributing in a meaningful way, especially with Seager and Lankford out and them getting the job done. Put a little pep in your Rangers step as they're sitting here at 24-25 on the year now. Okay, Thunder evened the series 1-1. Dominant second quarter. Other than that, the game was pretty much a nip-and-tuck affair. Couple of stories about this series. The big one is the injuries, you know, and now you have Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox. So that one's tough, you know. But you know, then the other one is the world's on fire about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander again. He shot 6 free throws. I would say don't fall for the cut-ups on social. That's what I would say.
The free throw merchant thing, I'm with you. And we talked about that a little bit before the game last night.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that's a BS narrative with him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's just really good.
Call me when he gets to the line 20 times like D-Wade. You know, because that's the volume of the bitching, you know. And here's the thing with playoff basketball. It's more physical. So what star players end up having to do is say, coach, they're killing me out there. And the coach says, well, fall down when he hits you, you know. So then you get in this cat and mouse game with the ref because the refs will punish star players for having great balance.
Yeah.
You know, this guy was running 15 miles an hour at 210 pounds and he ran into me. And because I am a superstar athlete, my body just teleported a yard to the left and I kept running, right? Because I have elite balance. That guy fouled the hell out of you.
Yeah.
You know? So the coaches end up, and this happens in soccer a lot, because in soccer you can shoulder charge, you can grab their jersey, you can hook their shoulder. And as long as the guy keeps running, the ref usually lets it go because you don't want to over-officiate a game.
Right.
So I get it. You know, some of the theatrics and some of the highlights of Gilgeous-Alexander, exaggerating the foul is tough. But in his shoes, he's probably thinking, bro, they're going to foul me 40 times tonight, and I'm not going to get to the free throw line a single time if I don't try to sell these.
Yeah.
Okay. We got basketball tonight.
The series have been really good.
They have.
I mean, it's been and. As we'd say, not a dog in the fight either way, but man, I really have been enjoying watching the games and how these games have played. I was amazed how the Knicks just were able to hang in there the other night after such a terrible start and then go on that run. Was it 30-4? Is that what the run they went on in that game?
It was amazing.
Just to get it back to overtime. My gosh,
it was historic. I think it was like a 436-0. Teams that had led by 20 points with 7 minutes left were, and now it's
you want to know the
one loss.
You want to know the first thing I was thinking about when that was happening? that me and Woolchuck would have got off and walked out of Madison Square Garden.
Let's beat the traffic.
I was thinking, you know what? I'm watching this right now, and I'm just kind of enjoying it because I just want to see what happens.
We're not there.
You guys would have been in line at Cat's Deli.
That
might have made it a little better.
Woolchuck had been ordering the pastrami and the corned beef, you know, and I'm like, man. And all of a sudden, man, can you believe what the Knicks did? And I'm like, Woolchuck would have looked at me like,
can we go back?
Yeah. And taking a swing at me. But I was thinking as they were coming back, I'm like, would I have left this one?
Well, it's funny because I put out a tweet that said, man, Cavs really going BTA. And from that moment on, it was an 18-1 run for the Knicks. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Yeah. Well, so congratulations.
Did anybody circle back with you on that?
That aged well.
Freezing cold take.
When you type
Knicks fans,
that,
you're welcome.
When you type that out, the first thing you're thinking of is, this could come back to get me.
Oh, always.
This could come back to get me.
And then you just got to have fun with it.
I remember.
I think that I was responsible for the Knicks win. Congratulations.
There was a time when I think the Cowboys were playing the Raiders. It might have been the thing. And they were coming and they were down really bad in the game. And they're going to. And the fans were just, brought us this team's hope. And then, so they came back and won the game. I went back and looked at every one of those tweets. Wow. And said, really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's got nice and snarky.
And so everybody was like, Broadus has got the receipts.
Back Brian.
Well, it was great to see the Knicks just finally attack James Harden. Like, they finally went to the well of, they have that Harden guy out there.
Yeah.
We should just hunt him on every possession. And I don't know why the Cavs don't do that with Brunson.
Can I, because of my memory sometimes, can I circle back on something real quick? Talk about hunt somebody. Anybody have a terrible feeling with Jock in right field yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Gavin 100%. And I were watching. We looked right at each other like, oh, my God, was that Jock Peterson? Did he actually make that catch?
I was like, I was sitting the first thing, and Bassick is like, Bassick's like, there's nobody else to put out there. You know,
once they pinch hit, they're stuck.
And I was sitting there thinking, gosh, please don't let them lose
Lats,
this game.
Because Lats was going to have to hit if they went to extras. Yeah, there were all kind of crazy things going on with yesterday's game. But
talk about Harden, and then it made me think about Jock Peterson.
He overran that ball and had to kind of try to cool guy it. Like, oh, yeah, I totally meant to do that. No, you didn't. Raymond actually said in the post game he felt like the Rockies got together before that half inning and said, everybody, we're going to right field.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
I just could see a ball in that park going into the alley and my man lumbering like me to try and get over there and cut it off. Like,
it was a good web redemption for him, though, in right field.
Yeah. I mean, I am okay. So this might be a regrettable admission, but I managed a co-ed softball team. It was in a media league in Portland back in the day for 1080 the Fan there. Okay. And
you were the skip?
We had I was the manager.
Did you wear the full uniform and everything?
Yeah, I played too.
Oh, yeah.
Hit myself lead off. But
did you guys have to wear like stirrups?
Hit myself
like, was it so long ago?
No.
Was it like a beer league? Were you hammered?
Yeah, it was beer league. Yeah, there was a lot going on. But it was usually like basketball shorts and a baseball jersey. But it was co-ed media league, and we had such a bitter rivalry with Clear Channel. You know, they brought in this ringer, now iHeart, but it used to be Clear Channel. They brought in this ringer who was one of the best softball players in the state. I brought in two female ringers. You know, this gal, Angie, who played first base and would hit dingers. She could hit it 250 feet out to right. It was great, but they would always put a woman in right field.
Yeah.
So I would close my batting stance and wait for an outside pitch and just drive that ball to right field and have a triple almost every time up.
What a strategy.
That's good scouts.
But you know, I think you gotta recognize.
Yeah.
You know, and in a game like slow pitch softball, you can control it. And I think a lot of baseball hitters, even though they're trying to pull, they can push when need be.
I don't know. It's so many times where we've sat here and Zach and I watched a Cowboy game together, and it's like we know where the bad players are, and we're so amazed that they don't know where the bad players are. You're like, they've got to throw it at that guy, don't they? And Zach's like, shut the hell up. Yeah, they got to throw it at him. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I keep saying it, but they're not doing it.
Just pretend he's not out there, Brian.
But as soon as Jacques went in, I'm the Colorado, if I'm there like hitting, I'm like, guys, right field. Yeah. We got it. Just try and wait on a little bit. Push it out there. Even if it's a flare, we're going to get a hit. Maybe get a double. You know, just kind of try and get it out. You know.
You have a chance for the inside the park.
Maybe,
man.
Maybe if it's down the line,
you got some wheels,
and he has to dive for a ball.
Yeah, that's gonna be, there's nothing worse than diving and whiffing, and now everything
like me
gets
getting
away.
Up out of the beanbag chair, to be like rolling
oh my
around
gosh.
The ground,
all time sad.
Yeah.
Tim Cato's coming up at 4 o'clock, All-City NBA writer. We'll talk to him about the Mavs head coach opening, what happens next. We got the champ on the other side. Then Woolchuck's top 10, buddy. Where are you taking it?
I asked the Tolos, and they want Little Debbie's. So top 10 Little Debbie snacks, 877-881-1053. This list might surprise you. That's next in the Nation.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Now, let's go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your champ.
Boom, 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 boom. Going for two today. This will be going for two today. How you doing, Mr. Broadus?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It is storm season here in Texas. We have a grandmother checking in on her nephew out there in Austin after a bad storm.
Luke, hey, sweetie. This is Nana. I hope your phone's working okay. I can't get hold of your mom, but we just watched the weather, and it looked like Austin got hit. Really bad. Well, call me if you can. My number is 512.
Oh, crap.
I forgot my phone number. Yeah. Oh, no. Man, I forgot my phone number.
Gosh, darn it.
I am calling Luke. I can't get anybody.
He's not much help in the background either.
That's so good, dude.
What's your number?
Yeah, he ain't helping no good. What do you mean you forgot your number?
Now, Brian, this was an upset to put this gal in the championship seat. Did you hear AI brought us?
No, what happened? I missed that one. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Which one?
I'll play it for you later on. Okay. Yeah, man. Yeah, Interruptosaurus is at it again. Just going for a run in G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah, we have a new series.
Oh, this is... So. Bobby didn't send me... Did Bobby do this? Was this a Bobby Belt one?
Yeah, Bobby created it.
Well, I wonder why he didn't, because he usually sends them to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe the hope was you were listening, but we'll replay this for you, because I want to hear
watching
your reaction.
Maybe he didn't want to disturb your vacation.
No.
Give you bad
what
vibes.
What was I doing?
We'll replay
what
this
was I
for
doing?
You.
Interrupting the president.
You interrupted FDR all those years ago.
Lou Gehrig's.
Yeah, Lou Gehrig's.
Oh, I said the speeches?
Yeah.
It's you doing a historical all-time great moment.
I just had a guy tell me I interrupt all the time. I interrupt too much.
It's hilarious.
He told you that to your face? Or was it on?
No, it's a guy on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Told me. He goes, yeah, why you always interrupt people?
Yeah. You ain't going to say it to your face.
I you can. I said, guy said I have a bad pace when I talk. Bad pace.
I think you have a great pace.
I like your pace.
He's like, oh, man, if you just.
It's your stop start.
He goes, you read stuff, you're fine. He says, but your pace when you talk is not good.
Wow.
Well, hey, I would say you're watching.
I would say your career accomplishments disagree with that gentleman.
No, I just was like, well,
was his name Gavin Spittle?
I said, I just told the guy, I said, I like my pace. You know, I like the way I talk.
I like my pace.
Oh, okay.
Probably an East Coaster, you know?
You need to be a little bit more snappy, guy.
A little bit more. But yeah, I do some reads over at my studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, your pace for your reads are really good. Mm. But when you talk, your pace isn't good.
What?
Yeah. I'm like going, oh, okay, thank you. Only one guy has ever talked to me about my pace. It's a guy named Jerry Madelon from ESPN. From ESPN.
Yeah.
And he's like, he goes, you need to make yourself bigger, you know, spread out.
Bigger, okay.
Bigger. And then explain your point when you're talking like three techniques, what a three technique is.
Okay.
Explain to that. Just don't assume that everybody knows what a three technique is. So
okay, the 214 says you probably interrupted him when he said that to you, Brian, which is high probability. 254 says, glad to have you back, Broadus.
Thank you.
It's time now for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 220. Here's Zach with an H.
Let's do it, baby. All righty.
Zach, do you think I interrupt people all the time?
Yeah, I think you have some moments, but overall...
You know you work for me over at Crown, right?
I love you, dude. Yeah. You know that. You know that.
Yeah, oh. those clothes you're buying for your kid, you might want to think about that.
Hey,
now.
I'm thinking about it. You know I love you dearly. I don't think you interrupt at all, and I love your cadence. I think your pacing is fantastic. So whoever that guy is, you can have a meeting with me, sir.
I got to hear this thing Bobby played.
No, it's going to be hilarious. I'm sure we'll play it.
I hate Bobby, by the way, in real life.
Oh. Oh, so that's unreal.
I really do.
Oh.
Yeah, I really do.
I thought
do.
That was a myth that you were doing.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Bobby does a little too much.
Okay.
Just in general. He does way too much.
Like, explain this like you're explaining the three technique.
Yeah. No, he just does way too much. He's way too involved. He's a very sneaky guy that, like, he gives you this appearance that he's your friend, and he's really not your friend.
Oh, no. Yeah. Should we all be kind of watching our backs?
For Ouch. Bobby, I'd absolutely do that. You never know. You're going to get a video done about you or something.
Yeah. Brought us out like the new Drake right now.
Yeah. I'm terrified now because
he's not really your friend.
I don't know.
He's not. He's got some John Gruden to him.
Yeah, Bobby is.
He smiles at you, then stabs you. He's one of those guys.
One of the smartest people
Clearly.
I know. I would not want to be on his bad side.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. What he's able to do with this AI stuff, it's incredible.
Oh, God. Any 16-year-old can do what Bobby's doing.
You're probably right.
Anybody can wear a hoodie and sweat profusely like him. You know?
Well, Bobby's got like 30 to 34 hours a day when the rest of us only have 24.
That's true. You're right. How many hours in a day? Not enough. All right, Little Debbie's, 877-881-1053, the best and worst Little Debbie snacks. Now, this list is one that I personally have an issue with. And Connor Tool, you might be being a tool on this one, Connor. Mm. I don't agree with your taste on all of this. Speaking of taste, Brian, you almost had a big victory. Joey Chestnut. He had an issue.
He's like he's in jail.
Yeah,
he's going to wear. No, he's just on jail.
He's just on probation. He slugged somebody.
It was like a playful slap. You know, this kind of goes to what we were talking about.
Can't believe
about.
You guys hit your wagon to that type of guy.
He's still going to compete. You know, they came out Who'd and said slap? Nathan's famous. He's still going to be there for July 4th. It was some man at a bar, and he was hammered, and he just kind of gave him a little love tap on the cheek, and then the guy ended up pressing charges.
Rightfully so.
Now he's got 180 days of probation in Hamilton County. Okay, he pled guilty. Regardless, I don't care what he does as long as he shows up July 4th and eats as many glizzies as he possibly can.
Nathan's Hot Dog already said there will be no repercussions.
Damn
there
right.
will be no punishment.
Of course not, because when they found
he's the
out
face
when he,
of our entire
yeah, they,
league.
They found out when he's not there, the thing sucks.
Yes. Exactly.
Awful. Yeah,
they terrible. Need him.
17-time winner. He's still going to be able to compete on July 4th. But,
with the bracelet on around the ankle?
He might have an ankle bracelet on. Yeah. Just keep your hands to yourself, kids. Or this is a valuable lesson. Don't get too drunk and smack somebody in the face. Only threaten that you will. Okay, don't actually do it.
I think I could eat him in crab, beat him in crab legs eating too. If you have to crack the shells,
this
and
would
stuff.
Be fun. I would actually love to see this. I tried to get that going. It didn't really, you know, matriculate.
It's more of a crack
right
off and not
media.
A eat off though.
Mm.
He's crack a crack him. Off guy. Crack him if you got him. Pop. 817 said, "I hate Bobby too, Brian. He's insufferable."
Tell me about it.
Yeah, there is a Bobby Belt hater every afternoon, and here he cracks me up.
Brian
with his
came
text.
Back with vengeance from the 214.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how he just interrupted. Is this a running bit from the 817? All right, a lot of good Little Debbie items coming.
I would
out.
Say
we got 5 hours. We talk about this stuff daily.
I'm
right?
ready for
I mean,
it.
You got to fill time.
I miss the hell out of you.
I don't mean to lord over your segment, but I do feel like I'm kind of an authority on sweets.
You are, and I think there's going to be some that you like
and,
in this top.
And
10.
We, I think you know the show can really only afford one interruptosaurus. So I apologize for interrupting you here immediately.
Please do.
In your top 10.
Okay. What do you got?
I think Little Debbie's might be the worst.
What?
I think they might be the worst cakes, donuts, cookies manufacturer at the grocery store.
You son of a gun.
And it's crazy because both my grandparents on my dad's side love Little Debbie's.
Yeah.
You know, when we would visit them.
Dawson, what are you doing now? Just
Florida,
tell everybody
North
your
Carolina,
family,
Virginia, no matter where they were living.
Little Debbie's.
Hey, I would like to suggest a blind taste test with any Little Debbie item and Mrs. Baird's accompanying equivalent.
Do they have a zebra cake in the Mrs. Baird's?
I don't think so.
Okay, they don't.
I don't think so. There's going to be several that Little Debbie does that we're not going to have. So I'm going to have to ask you after you've done these taste tests. Okay. If you could take what you've learned and apply it to the other Little Debbie stuff, because I think it's too artificial.
I think that there is some element to that. I don't think you're off base here. Now, I grew up having Little Debbie's, so I do have a soft spot for Little Debbie's. Like the Cosmic Brownies not being in the top 10 pisses me the hell off.
But you don't think Debbie's making these from scratch?
Hell yeah, she is.
Deb was in there just grinding,
she is. Well, I don't know if she's grinding, Eric, but she is definitely
baking. Those oatmeal and cream pies.
There's
grinding.
Like a perfect sweet spot when you need to pack your sweets full of preservatives and this stuff that's going to make it sit on a shelf for 6 months in a warehouse for 9 months and still be good.
Yeah.
And I think Little Debbie just way overshoots that.
And it's not because she's little. Like if it was Big Debbie's, you'd be totally in on them, or it's just... Yeah. It doesn't matter, little or big.
The brand doesn't bother me.
It's just the taste.
Yeah.
Well, Cosmic Brownies didn't make the top 10. I had an issue with that. But when you talk about artificial, I think there definitely some artificial taste there, but they're still delicious.
Oh, there's a buttload.
Yes. I loved Cosmic Brownies growing up.
They're amazing.
And the iced honey buns are the last one on the outside looking in. Lucius, for somebody that actually has quality taste buds, what do you think about the Little Debbie's?
I don't eat a lot of snacks and cakes and things, but I'm not mad at the oatmeal pies.
Okay. There we go.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be pretty high.
I'm mad at those.
But the ones I brought last week, totally
fantastic.
Dunked on Debbie.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's do this
taste
test. But
they're also double the price, I would assume, on
for
that.
Sure.
But
by the way,
they're quality ingredients versus artificial.
I did not know. Little Debbie actually makes a chocolate chip cookie cream pie and a snickerdoodle cream pie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I haven't had those. I've never seen those.
We might have to get those. Did you have something, Ryan?
Yeah, I do. I think the competition. Thanks for
100%.
Thanks for asking. Appreciate
this
that.
Is a good thing here.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get
involved
sharing, here.
We're because, caring. You're involved.
Yeah. The Nutty Buddy has a competitor. Hostess has one called Totally Nutty.
Okay.
So we can do a taste test there to see.
There we go.
That's a big because that's going to be very high here. So number 10 is the powdered donuts, and we could do a taste test there.
Absolutely. All right,
and I think that's probably going to go Mrs. Baird's. Number 9 is the zebra cakes. Now, zebra cakes are my one seed for Little Debbie snacks. And now they do the zebra cake rolls, which are the Swiss rolls version of the zebra cakes. Those are freaking outstanding. And talking about artificial flavors, you might be onto something there. I still love them. Number 8.
Okay, 214 says, my childhood best friend's godfather was Deborah. Her grandfather named the company after her.
No way.
Pretty cool. Little Debbie's is like eating plastic. Says the 949.
Okay, now we're going too far. 949. Okay, have you ever eaten plastic? Because it's not eating a Little Debbie. All right. Maybe you should go taste some plastic and then get back to me on that. Number 8 is Frosted Donuts, which I would probably side Mrs. Beard's would be better. Number 7 is the Chocolate Cupcakes, which is kind of like a ho-ho.
Hostess has got some pretty good cupcakes.
They do. And I haven't had the Little Debbie Chocolate Cupcakes, as I usually go with the Hostess ones.
They look pretty good on the screen.
They do. They look good on the picture.
Yeah.
6 is Chocolate Marshmallow Pies, which do look outstanding as well. Kind of like a moon pie that's covered in chocolate. 5 is the Swiss rolls, which I think are tried and true.
They are. You got to put those in the fridge or the freezer or something.
That's a good idea.
You know, kind of make that into an ice cream
filling.
Out of
all the Little
filling.
Debbie items, I think that's the one I would choose.
The Swiss roll?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the first thing I think of.
I feel like you would like the Nutty Buddy. Like, you get that wafer. You know, it's
and
like.
That's not bad either.
Yeah, you would that's like the pretty nutty. Good. And you can, like, you could just go in and attack them, or you can kind of open it up and go layer by layer with the wafer,
like the ogre.
Like really just take the scenic route.
Ogres have layers, nutty butties have layers.
Exactly.
So do onions. Honey buns comes in at number 4. The birthday cakes, the little Debbie birthday cakes, which also look phenomenal.
Okay, well,
really? Little Debbie birthday
at 3. Yeah, they're funfetti cakes in bar form.
The Swiss rolls have a competitor.
They do? Okay, I'd like to do a side.
The Hostess ho-ho, yeah.
Number 2 is the oatmeal cream pies. But number 1, the best Little Debbie snack item, according to Connor Toole, is the Nutty Buddy.
It's good.
So if we have a Nutty Buddy competitor, then we should do a taste test here. Because I will fight for the Little Debbie's. I think Little Debbie's are great, but it's also just kind of nostalgic for me. The product might be very flawed. I'm open-minded to this. The Christmas trees are being texted in.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the platform to just, share my reality.
Yeah.
Seems like there's
I do
There's
trust
some people
you
out there that agree
with the. I mean, I think overall those products are probably better than the Little Debbie. There's just certain items like the zebra cake I can't get in the other type.
It might just be some in my taste buds that are different that don't agree with that style of dessert or treat or whatever that is.
In the 817, Dawson is the goat
over processed
at worst food takes.
Okay, we got to run. A little hoop talk coming up, Chief.
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh. More Jason Kidd fallout. We grade the call for the dunk of the playoffs.
Ludwig?
Next in the nation.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Tim Cato's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk more Mavs offseason with Tim, but right now, little afternoon basketball discussion here with the Chief.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed with that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Does it feel like a special occasion with all these people just climbing in and dunking on Jason Kidd as he packs up his bags and leaves Dallas?
It is pretty incredible, you know, and we actually talked with Bobby Carell about this last night, just like the long line of people, whether they're journalists or former players, media members, who have something to say about how they feel like Jason Kidd would be a successful coach, but if you leave him around in the building for too long, everybody's going to end up not liking him.
Yeah, that's pretty much been the common theme here.
And then I also get the distinct feeling from a lot of reporters that they just haven't been saying anything because they were kind of afraid and wanted to be able to cover Jason Kidd without him knowing the things they'd said about him, you know? But yeah. Now they're unloading.
Yeah, yeah, they're emptying the clip. The Henry Abbott tweet was pretty next level.
Very much so. It's like, wow.
Says, I covered Jason Kidd when he played for the Nets. I know one of his childhood friends. I've been to his house, met his kids, then wife, and Pilates instructor, and I have insight from many people who worked with him in his coaching years. This is a great firing.
Ouch. I mean,
that is a burn. You have another guy that's connected to Nike who's like, a Nike exec told me that Jay Kidd is going to get fired from every coaching job he gets because for as good as he is at X's and O's and player development, over time he becomes insufferable and his personality starts to weigh on people. And apparently that is kind of the way everybody feels. And that particular tweet that I just read you was quote tweeted by Michael Carter Williams, who played under Jason Kidd in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. He says, I've been trying to tell people this for 10 years now. Truth always prevails. So a lot of people are taking some victory laps here on Jason Kidd.
Aren't the really good ones? Don't they have these problems?
Yeah, there's some parcels to this, how the story's reading, isn't
Belichick,
it?
Belichick, yeah. Saban, you know, go. I mean, I guess Scotty Bowman in hockey, you know, there's...
When he got the job, we
Pop,
read that...
You think Pop's a... I mean, Pop is one of these guys, I think, that off the court, he's got a kind of a human side to him. But I wonder, you know, I wonder if he's got some of these kind of
traits.
It's
never been so much for Saban or for Pop to.
What about
Pop? You've never seen
those
guys get fired.
Yeah, but Pop. I mean,
I guess they didn't have like as bad of a run as Jason has had recently, right? Like, I mean, outside of two seasons with Luka, it was all losing seasons.
And Pop built great relationships with his players. You know, he was kind of a jerk with the media.
Yeah, I just wonder though that. But I think the really good ones have this trait where they're not the nicest guys. You know, they're not the nicest people. You know, players who play for him, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of guys lining up for Jason Kidd that like, hey, listen, this guy did a lot for me.
And Giannis always spoke very highly of him.
Which is funny because I was reminded of a a newspaper headline from Milwaukee when Jason Kidd was the coach there. You guys remember this one?
Mm-mm.
Jason Kidd once made the Bucks run sprints at practice because one player had an Android, which messed up the team's group chat. Don't be sending green text in here, dude.
Man.
We are a well-oiled blue machine
that
here.
That is difficult to deal with.
With iMessages, it is. It sucks.
It is. It's hard to deal with that.
And so you'll have to run laps for that if you're on Jason Kidd's team with an Android. Bobby would be running laps right now if he played under Jason Kidd. Now, of course, we're all trying to figure out now the fun part of this is who's the guy?
Yeah.
Who's the next guy? And we're all, I mean, initially when the news broke, we were on the air the other day, and we were like, dude, why not go after a Sean Sweeney? You have Masai Ujiri, who in the only two coaching hires he's made, it was guys with no head coaching experience.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse and then Darko, who is still the head coach with the Toronto Raptors. So he's taken chances. He hasn't just gone for the retread popular name. And so that makes Sean Sweeney a guy that could be available. We're all familiar with him. We saw what he did for the Mavericks defense in the years that he was here.
Yep.
And then now you see him in San Antonio. Wouldn't it be nice to just take a little something away from whatever San Antonio has cooking right now?
Yeah, his relationship with Luka was special. Talking to people within the organization, like Luka really trusted him, you know, and leaned on him. And when Luka had problems, he went to Sean. And Sean's was a very respected member. When Jason Kidd was not being kind to everybody, that Sean Sean was able to, like, listen, look at it this way.
Yeah.
Think about it this way. I know for a fact, talked to some people, that Sean was one of the guys on board to not trade Luka Doncic.
And that was a question the morning show was asking.
That's a huge reason why you want him here.
From what I understand, there were three coaches and a couple in the front office, and everybody else has that blood on their hands. And I was told that Sean Sweeney was not one of them.
Yeah, because like Masai Ujiri's been talking about, it definitely seems like this is we're cleansing everything of what happened with the Luka trade. And I wish he would just say that. Like, look, we're trying to remove ourselves from this Luka deal. And anybody that had a piece of this, you're getting out of here.
I think the reason why he can't do that, the reason why he can't do that is probably the Dumont factor.
Right, but that's the owner, and there's nothing you can do. And Patrick Dumont, I think that you have some reasonable deniability here, where it's like, I'm an idiot and I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, sure.
Like he's even said that with Masai Ujiri. He's going to run things. I'm hiring somebody to put them in place to do their job. So Nico Harrison was a guy that was in place to do his job. He told me he thinks this is the best thing to do. I didn't know any better. I think that's very evident. Patrick Dumont doesn't know basketball, had no idea about the Dallas Mavericks and their history, and they made a bad decision. He's learned from that, and hopefully moving forward, you don't see that same mistake. I don't think he even has to be a part of that thing. But I think, like, because clearly that's what's happening behind the scenes. So Masai Ujiri doesn't have, like, Maverick fans aren't dumb. Just admit it. Don't try and tiptoe around we're going to honor Luka Doncic. He was a great Maverick. Every time he comes home, you know, we recognize that. Look, this is what this is. It's a new era, and we're trying to remove ourselves of a massive mistake that was made a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that's clearly what it is. And you're seeing the odds and the favorites to be the next head coach, like Sean Sweeney initially, right up at the top of the list. And he was the favorite. I think he might still be at sports books. But then you also have the Duke, John Shire.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't think I like that idea at all.
Is that just simply, he knows Cooper Flagg, and so let's do this?
That's a good point.
Like, I don't
need to ask that question. Didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Did not think of it that way.
I mean, Lively as well. Then Kyrie, I bet they've got some sort of relationship. Kyrie goes back to Duke often, but
everything's about Cooper Flagg, though.
Yes.
I mean, anything they do right now is centered around the idea of Cooper Flagg. And so John Shire, because, I mean, you had the Hoop Collective and Windhorse and them, they said like a big name college coach, but they didn't say it. But then since then, we've seen that it's the Duke head coach, John Shire. And I'm like, okay, really? That's the one? That's the guy? That you've seen, I mean, they've blown leads, and every time they lose a game, they're blowing a huge lead, and they're usually pretty big games. And so I don't know that would be the one that I would want to go to. If I'm starting with a guy who's never been a head coach in the NBA, I'd like to have a guy like a Sweeney. Doesn't have to be him, but at least has been in the NBA for quite some time and has had success at least as, you know, an assistant coach.
The reason he might not get the job is because he does have a connection to Jason Kidd.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully that's not something that, that hurts him.
But especially if he was against what they did.
Right.
That, I was told there was three coaches and a couple of guys in the front office that were adamant that let's not do this when it came down to it. And so
he was one.
Yeah, and he was one.
Right now, Kelce's got Sweeney still the favorite, Billy Donovan at number two, which I'm not into at all.
See, that's
and then
what
Nick
I think
Nurse.
About, yeah, I think there's people talking to my NBA guys. They think Nick Nurse is about to be involved here.
Well, if he gets fired in Philly.
Yeah, yeah. If he's being let go in Philly, then yeah. that's an obvious connection.
Because
sure.
I asked Bobby Carello, and we had him on yesterday, like, would you be willing to trade even the 30th pick or whatever it is, their last pick in the first round for him? He said, no, absolutely not. I'm not interested in trading a pick for a coach. But otherwise, I don't know how you would get a Nick Nurse unless he does get fired. Just now they've got a new general manager they're about to have in Philly.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating. There's plenty from last night's game that we'll get to a little bit later.
Awesome stuff, Chief. Rim session in the books. We got 1 hour down, four to go. Tim Cato's coming up in an hour and 5 minutes. Wolchuk, what are we doing next?
All right, let's do a little football fix. Cleveland getting to Cleveland. Why number 13 in the Georgia way? That's next in the nation.